One thing everyone is trying to get a grip on is how the federal sequester will impact Wyoming. Anne Alexander is an economist at the University of Wyoming. She joins me in the studio to discuss this. Anne, as we look at sequester in Wyoming, do we have definitive answers yet?
No, we really don't. There were some estimates that were put out by the White House, by the Office of Management and Budget, of some potential impacts that could be felt in all of the 50 states and that were specific to Wyoming and every other state. But there's still a lot of guesswork involved. And a lot of the reason for that is because, unlike the fiscal cliff where all of the tax rates were going to change the very next day, this is a matter of an $85 billion cut that has people involved with it. So you have to give notices to contractors, you have to give notices to civil service folks. And so a lot of the actual dollar amounts and the effects won't be felt, you know, until starting at the very least until the end of the month. Another kind of piece of uncertainty about it is that the fiscal year's already started. You know, the fiscal year started in October. So they're having to smash all of these cuts into a much shorter period of time. Whereas if sequester continues into another fiscal year, they'll have a full year to sort of, you know, hash out where to put things. So there's still so much uncertainty.
The part of our economy that seems to be out there that strikes me as very interesting is the oil and gas industry and the energy industry. And would you explain how that might be impacted?
Well, because there's a lot of permitting that has to go on, environmental impacts and other kinds of pieces of permitting for drilling, for exploration, and even for production, you're going to see a reduction in the ability of BLM, EPA, all of the other agencies that are involved in this to be able to get out to do inspections, to do permitting. And so both exploration and production could fall or at least see increased wait times to begin processes or to pull things out of the ground.
And maybe one last thing for you. I mean, one of the things you keep hearing from our congressional delegation is this is actually finally going to force cuts that should have happened a long time ago. Senator Enzi thinks that the country should do it a lot like Wyoming did, where you get the agencies to propose different types of cuts. As you look at this, are they right that they probably needed to do something to force their hand and make cuts?
You know, it's interesting. I hear that a lot, and that certainly is a you know, it's an understandable point of view. One thing, though, that I did see that's come out from the Congressional Budget Office is that the original caps that were put onto discretionary spending, even before the fiscal cliff and sequestration, that were part of the original Budget Control Act, where all of this came from in 2011, those original caps were actually going to start ramping down defense spending and discretionary spending anyway. So there are some cuts already baked in, regardless of sequestration, into discretionary spending. But to me, and I think to a lot of folks, probably including our congressional delegation, the concern about budgets and long-term deficits and debt has less to do with discretionary spending and a lot more to do with what's called mandatory spending. And you can kind of think of the difference between them as discretionary is short-term spending, mandatory is long-term. Mandatory is spending that you don't have to go back and get budget authority to spend every year. That's Social Security, that's Medicare, and that's Medicaid, and interest on the national debt. And if you look at the long-term predictions that are out there, mandatory spending as a percentage of total spending right now is 64% of total spending. By 2023, it's going to be 76% of total spending. And so those programs are going to continue to grow in their outlays. But revenues aren't going to keep up with expenditures, with outlays. So what really needs fixed? Discretionary spending is large, that's for sure. And so it's understandable for people to say, well, we told them to cut it already. Let's cut it some more. This is the only way we can force spending cuts because the deficit and the debt are getting too large and unsustainable. But the unsustainable parts of the deficits and of the debt in the long run is going to come from the things that they're not touching right now. No one is talking seriously across the aisle with each other in any sort of forum where they would actually do something about reforming the mandatory programs. So we're going to have to borrow, in other words, to continue to fund mandatory spending.
And Alexander is an economist here at the University of Wyoming. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Bob.